Got a great audience today. Some of our audience over in this direction is missing because our part of our youth group has gone to Tunica to do their worship for them today, to be with them in their worship, to lead, I should say. And so we're very thankful to a large group of you that are here, and we're very thankful for the group that has gone to be with the Tunica congregation. I know that the Tunica congregation is so appreciative of those of us who have been there, and I hope that several of you will choose when you have the opportunity. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but if your class is to go and help lead them in worship, I hope you'll go. It will be a great, great encouragement to them. I have been, most of my life, a sports fan. I've only been a sports fan in the part of my life that I remember. I'm sure when I was a little child, I didn't remember some things, but when things came to be in my memory, I became a sports fan. And I have witnessed a few people being traded from one of my favorite teams to another team, and I thought, wow, what a bummer. How can the team betray that individual? Or sometimes, how can that individual betray a team? I just couldn't figure that out. Why would they do that? It's called money, but we just cannot think about people being disloyal. Well, this morning, I want us to think about betrayal. And what's at the heart of betrayal? And as we look at this story in Matthew 26, particularly in verses 14 through 25, we're going to be able to take a look at some things that are at the heart of why Judas did what he did. But as we try to make application to our own lives, much of this will be at the heart of why we do what we do when we choose the betrayal of Jesus. As we start thinking about this, let's first of all just take a look at Judas. He was listed with the 12, the three times that we have the listing of the apostles. Judas is there. If you take a look at each of these three, you're going to have Peter always listed first. Philip is always going to be number five. And James is always going to be listed number nine. These three men, apparently, just by what writers think, were the leaders of smaller parts of the 12. Peter, the leader of the first four, Philip, the second four, James, the third four. They're always in the same position. Judas is always last. Now, you'll see some discrepancy in the way they're listed in some of the accounts, but Judas is always last. He was listed there perhaps for a good reason. John 12 and verse 6 says he had the money box. He was the treasurer. He got to keep the money. Jesus and the disciples were given help. We read about the ladies that helped them, and they helped them in a number of ways. Money had to be one of those because they needed somebody to keep the money box and to keep things straight and going. Judas was the one selected among this group to carry the money box. But he was chosen by Jesus. We must not forget that. He was chosen by Jesus. And if you look at this text in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, he was with the 12 when Jesus spoke of the glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God. When we begin thinking about what Judas had, he had an opportunity to walk daily with Jesus, literally. And he had an opportunity to hear the greatest preacher ever to preach. And he had an opportunity to listen to those words, and he could have turned from his direction of betrayal because he heard the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He also was taught the parable of the sower. He understood what the preaching of that word could do. He understood soils representing hearts, and he understood what kind of heart was needed for that seed to really grow and produce. Confident, he had a chance to compare that teaching with his own heart. And he could have made changes. He heard also this teaching of Jesus that was quite prominent. That just because you're first doesn't mean that's where you will wind up. The first are going to be last, and the last are going to be first. And Jesus was teaching us this manner of thinking about life. If we're always pushing ourselves out front, we aren't going to be out front. If we take the chief seat at the banquet, the person who's hosting the banquet could come up and say, "Excuse me, I have a guest that needs to be here. Would you please come down toward this end of the table?" First will not always be last. He's listed among the first of the disciples of Jesus. What a great opportunity Judas had as he had daily walks and talks with Jesus. He was also with the ministry of Jesus. He did some work. He did some good things. It's not all bad. If we could see the life of Judas day after day, Judas handed money out to the poor, no doubt. Judas took care of some great things. He was a part of the ministry of Jesus. What was Jesus involved in doing? He was involved, remember, when John sent messengers to Jesus to say, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for someone else?" Jesus told those guys, "You go back and you tell John what is happening. The dead are being raised. The sick are being healed. There are great things that are being done in the ministry of Jesus." Judas was a part of that ministry until he fell by transgression. When we begin thinking about Judas, what a chance, what an opportunity, what a blessing he had in being one of the chosen ones. But when we take a look at the heart of Judas, and this is just from these passages that we're looking at from Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 14 and going through verse 25, he had a heart of greed. You know anybody that just keeps wanting more, keeps wanting more, keeps wanting more, keeps wanting more? The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 11 teaches us that God has set eternity in our heart. And Solomon is in the point of trying to teach us we will never have everything we want in this world. It's like a black hole. You keep trying to fill your hole up with things in this world. Doesn't matter what it is. You will never be filled. Never be filled. That's what a heart of greed is about. Can you imagine having more than Judas had being with Jesus? Can you imagine Judas being able to hear the message more clearly than he heard from the lips of Jesus? Can you imagine being blessed any greater than Judas had, trusted any more than Judas was trusted? But it was not enough. He was willing to sell the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. A heart of betrayal is a heart of greed. Secondly, a heart of betrayal is a heart that really has no sympathy for others. In John chapter 12 and verse 6, we learn several things from this particular verse. But one of the things that we learn is he didn't really care for the poor. Jesus was constantly working, trying to take care of poor people. He did not care for the poor. Boy, can I look down my nose at Judas? People that just didn't have anything. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have clothes to wear. And Judas didn't care for those people. I wonder about me. How much care and how much concern do I have for people that do not have what I have? I was talking to someone recently about the busing program that became such a big deal in the late 70s and early 80s. That program died, And a great reason, one of the reasons that program died was obviously it was hard work. It took a lot of people. It took a lot of time. It was just a difficult program to maintain. But we had hundreds of people being baptized. We had hundreds of people worshiping God. But you know what one of the main problems was? People like Roy Sharp, who wears a suit to church, looked over and there were some people that didn't have on good clothes. And their clothes were dirty. Sometimes their clothes were torn. Roy Sharp gets up and takes a shower, and I'm sitting by someone that obviously hadn't had a shower today and maybe in several days. And I see this little snotty-nosed kid sitting over there, never been in a public assembly before, doesn't know how to sit still, doesn't understand reverence for God, doesn't know many things at all that needs to be taught, needs to know Jesus. And Roy Sharp, because of his uppity ways and looking down his nose at the poor, we said, many people said, we've got to stop bringing those people to our buildings. They disrupt God's worship. They are not reverent. They are not what they need to be. And I'm sitting there, and if that's my attitude, I am not what I need to be. We need to think, as we think about the heart of betrayal and sympathy for other people, we need to think about Judas, but we do not need to stop thinking when we think about Judas. Would you think about being a thief? I've been a thief. I have taken things that were not mine. I tell story in class sometimes about being 10 years old. I had left the farm and driven to visit one of my brothers that moved to Chicago, and I go to the store with him on Sunday after church. His wife is sending him to the store for something. I'm a good kid. I go to church all the time. I am taught you could not have had a better mother than I had. I knew what was right. I knew what was good. And this man right in front of my brother, we were checking out. He reached in his pocket to get some money. And when he did, he pulled out a bunch of stuff and change just fell everywhere. I'm a good kid. So I step and I start picking up. I reach under things. I'm 10 years old. I can get under these things. This man couldn't. And this man took that money from my hand, and boy, he was thinking, what a good boy you are. I was a thief because I put my foot on a dime, and I knew it. And I didn't move my foot. My brother would have beaten me to death if he'd known what I was doing. This man would not have thought, what a good kid this is. He wouldn't have been thanking me. He would have wanted to punch me in the nose, I'm sure. But I was a thief. Have you ever thought about being a thief? It's easy to look down our nose at Judas. And we should, in terms of him being a thief. But would we take from others things that do not belong to us? I picked my foot up off of that dime. That dime was big. That was 1956. And you could buy a bottle of Coke and a candy bar for 10 cents. I'd been playing ball with some guys. They had money and I didn't. And that next day, I had my chest stuck out because I had some money. I could get a Coke and a candy bar like they did the next day. But I was a thief. How can I look down my nose at Judas? When we betray Jesus, it might be because we're taking things that do not belong to us in one way or another. You might say, well, I would never steal money, but would you steal time at work? Would you steal possessions at work that do not belong to you? There are many ways in which we can become a thief. The heart of betrayal is the heart of a thief. This heart of betrayal also is a heart that was very deliberate in planning and in its evil intent. In Matthew 26, in these verses 15 and 16, Judas went to the high priest and said, what are you willing to give me? Let's plan this out. What are you willing to give me? They offered 30 pieces of silver. They brought him 30 pieces of silver. He took it. They didn't twist his arm. He took it. He was deliberate in his behavior. He intended to betray Jesus, and you could study many reasons that people give for his betrayal, but the reality is he was deliberate in his intent. He meant to do it. He did it, and from that moment on, he sought to betray Jesus. A heart that betrays the Lord is almost always deliberate. We think through what we are going to do. We might make excuses and we might try to justify, we might try to do any number of things, but our betrayal of Jesus would be just as deliberate generally as was the heart of Judas. He meant to do what he did. It was a heart that gave in to the devil. The word devil in the New Testament is a slanderer, one who would gossip and spread things about others. Judas was a devil. Not just that he gave in to the devil, but if you look at this passage in the book of John in chapter 6 and 70 and 71 verses, the 70 and 71st verse, you're going to see the Bible saying, one of you is a devil. Not that you're going to let the devil into your heart and you're going to behave like the devil. One of you is a devil. Judas was a slanderer. He was one who behaved in exactly the same way as this king of slanderers, the devil, as we read about him. That's who Judas was. And then in chapter 22, the book of Luke, the Bible tells us that Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. You see, he went from walking with Jesus, being a slanderer all along the way, to being an adversary. He now was an opponent of Jesus, walking right beside him, but fighting against him. That's what the word Satan means, an adversary. Remember when Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, "Get behind me, Satan." When Peter said, "Oh, you will not die so long as I'm around," Jesus had just told him that he would have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die. Peter said, "No, you won't, not as long as I'm around. Nothing like that's going to happen to you." Jesus said, "You get behind me. You've become my adversary. This is what must happen. You get behind me." That's exactly where Judas was. He was Satan, an adversary, because the king of adversaries of the Lord, the devil himself, had entered into Judas's heart. The heart of Judas, sad heart. Well, what does that bring us? If we choose those things, and if we aren't careful, we will choose that. What does that mean to me this morning? Well, we can see, based on the life of Judas, that it's going to be a heart full of remorse. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. One translation says he was filled with remorse. Should he have been? Wow, when he looked at himself and he saw that he had betrayed God's son, he should have been filled with remorse, and the text says he was. It might be this morning that you're sitting in this room and your life is not in a right relationship with God, and you may be sitting there just filled with remorse. You are thinking, "I am not faithful to God. I am not who I need to be in my relationship with God." If so, you have been using your life to betray Jesus. Secondly, it was a heart that was betrayed by other people. You would have thought those scribes, chief priests and scribes, would have been so thoughtful. But when Judas brought the money back and threw it at their feet, this is what he says: "I've sinned by betraying innocent blood." You would have thought they would have had some compassion on him. They were the religious leaders of the day to those Jewish people. But here's what they said: what is that to us? You see to it. Doesn't mean anything to us that you now believe you've betrayed innocent blood. We've got what we want. We don't care about you. We don't care what you do. We don't care what you do with the money. You go do what you want to do. Anyone who is willing to betray Jesus is going to be betrayed by other people in one way or another. Life just doesn't work the way we want it to sometimes, and it will especially not work correctly when we betray Jesus. And then it will be a heart full of despair. They wouldn't listen to him, the chief priests and scribes. He was filled with remorse, but it didn't make him any better. He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed. He went out and hanged himself. You see, the problem with Judas was not that it didn't hurt his feelings. It wasn't that he didn't realize that he should be filled with remorse. It was he didn't do anything about it. I can tell you today, just like Jesus knew way ahead of time, one of you is a devil. And then at the supper, one of you is going to betray me this night. Jesus knew all of that. And he was telling Judas. You remember, Judas even said, "Is it I, Lord?" at the supper. I can tell you this. Jesus knows your heart today. He knows those of you who love the Lord and you've given your heart over to him and you want to love him and serve him and worship him, work for him. God knows that today, and he loves you. But he knows your heart if it's a heart of betrayal. He knows how greedy you may be and what you want in the world instead of what you need. He knows how deliberately you set him aside from time to time to get what you want instead of what you need. He knows everything about you. And he loves you today. And would love for you to come to him. To repent of your sins and be obedient to him in baptism if you need to do that. He would love it for you to come back to his kingdom. To back being a servant of his if you've been unfaithful to him in his kingdom. He would love that because he loves you. And so do we. And that's why we're going to sing this song, is to encourage you to respond to the Lord if you have a need. Have the heart for God that you need to have. Come as we stand and as we sing.